I'm believing this morning as well that this is going out from here. It's going out by Zoom, but it's also going out this western gate into this beautiful city where there's an acceleration of something beautiful going on in the Lord. So we're grateful for that. Darren, thank you for coming.
Well, I'm still hooked up to an IV, and this is a bag of antibiotics here too. They come every day. The nurses come to my house every day to replace that. And I do take probiotics because I know somebody's going to say that. So God bless you, though. One of the things that we've had to struggle with is too much advice from the body of Christ. Constant telling you what to eat and what you should take. And I have one lady get really angry with me. I told you what to do 3 months ago. And I thought, I don't even know who you are. God is good, amen. And I've learned about the goodness of God through this time. I was a little nervous about inviting people publicly to my, because you asked me to do that. I've been Zoom bombed. I don't know if you know what that means, but we've had times where we've had 200-300 haters come into the Zoom meetings. So we just pray that that won't happen today, amen? And if it does, shut the screen off because you'll see stuff you don't want to see. God is good. One time it was in India, they came and cursed us out, and I was doing an online meeting through Zoom, and we had about 100 people come in. This guy was busy blocking every one of them. This is the world we live in today, amen? God is good. But 4.5 months ago, you guys know that last year was, I don't know if you know, I was on Sid Roth last year. It was the busiest year of my ministry so far. I traveled all around the world over a 14-month period, across Canada, across America, into Africa. I was in the Middle East, all over the world. And I probably preached in about 100 churches during that time. Sometimes on those trips, I would drive 20,000 kilometers or more on my trips, preaching in 20 churches on one trip in 3 or 4 weeks. So it was a busy year. Jonathan, who's, I think, in the back, is he here? Is he gone? He's gone out with the kids, probably. Did a trip with me just before I ended up having these health issues. We were in Edmonton. We were in British Columbia, Saskatchewan. We drove about 7,000 kilometers in 10 days. We had a great trip, but on that trip, I thought to myself, this is like the way God, you know, takes care of you. I hope nothing ever happens to me when I'm on one of these trips. I do not want to have health issues when I'm in the mountains or I'm in the deserts, because I in New Mexico drove across the deserts this year. It was awesome. You know, I was in the deserts. You expect it to be warm, but I actually had ice on the cactuses when I was out there. Everything was covered in ice. First time I've never seen that. And the roads were icy. For a Canadian, it's okay, but for a Texan, it's a tragedy. You don't want to be on the roads in Texas when it's like that. They had over 200 accidents in 3 days. I was driving down the road at the same speed I would always go, but they don't know how to drive in that. So if you're in those places, we would say, I don't say, bunker down and find a safe place when you're there. I couldn't even get into Chick-fil-A that trip. They were closing it out because it was too icy to come into the store. But I ended up coming home. It was April 5th. I think I got home on the 3rd. And April 5th, I hit the floor. I can only say it in that way. My body just, it was almost like a sledgehammer hit my back. The pain was like a bullet went through me. I was paining from here right around to the back, and I didn't know what it was. I mean, I when I was a boy, I was 4 years old, had appendicitis. If you've ever had that, that pain is intense. But for 45 years, I had never really had any health issues since that time. So this was my first time feeling this level of pain since I was a boy, but I knew it was a serious thing. Oh, I started singing the song Spirit in the Sky. You know that one? When I die and you lay me the rest, I'm going to go to the place that's the best. Whew, I really thought, like, I knew because of visions and dreams that I had destiny and that it wasn't over. But I was longing for heaven in that moment because the pain was that intense. And I ended up 3 days later, I went into the hospital, I won't say where, and they misdiagnosed me, sent me home. And because of that, I probably could have passed away very easily. When I ended up into Queensway, Carleton Hospital, within seconds, they had me like diagnosed and I was in the ICU for the next 3 days, about 40 bags of liquid pouring into my body. The nurses and the doctors thought I was gonna die. You could see it in their faces, but also with their words, the things that they said out loud. My mother and Lydia kept coming in. Mom brought me in this is my mom here, by the way. She brought me in some headphones to worship the Lord during that time. And for the next 3 days, it was just worshiping Jesus. And the same songs would come over and over and over. And they were all about, this is not the end, this is the beginning. I still have plans for you yet. In the middle of that, as you guys know, I have friends all over the world, and good friends. I mean, I'm not just saying that. The churches rose up in that time all around the world. We had 24-hour prayer meetings happening in India and in Africa and in America. Hundreds and if not thousands of people began to pray. And then I knew I wasn't going to die, but I had to overcome death. It's as simple as that. I thought I was going to die. I wanted to. I mean, I've gone through where Lydia knows this many times in my travels where I've almost died. And I'm not afraid of death at all. But when you have pain like I had, you don't want it. You don't want it. You don't want that level of pain. I screamed at God. What is going on? I don't know if you've ever been there, but I know it's like be upset, like, God, you should be doing something, and then repenting and forgive me, God. Of course I'm happy. I am because I would go right into that fire. You feel the presence in here? You feel that peace in the atmosphere right now? I would go right into that fire, into that peace. And learn to be thankful in all things. I want to read something I wrote. It's going to take about 3 minutes to read this. I could not get off the couch without being vulgar, I ended up having constipation for 2 weeks. Like I did not have a bowel movement for 2 weeks. My stomach swole right up. The pain from that alone, you can't even comprehend it. And I had people shoving everything in me trying to get me to have that move, you know what I mean? It was awful, I'm not gonna lie. That in itself kept me sick for a month, just that. So, I mean, the things you go through, you don't even expect. I used to always be like bragging and like, no, I have no problem down there. I'm regular, I had people say, you know, every day like clockwork, you know, but suddenly it's not working right. So I felt this fire like I was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. I felt like I'd been faithful to God. I've been faithful to my call. I've been doing what you've called me to do. And now, you know, here I am. The enemy, and it was witchcraft. We know this because I've had probably 15 prophetic voices I trust. All discerned that this was like a voodoo attack. And I kept seeing this doll that somebody was stabbing needles into the back of. I'd been in many places where we came against witchcraft real strong. In Africa, just before I'd been back home in February, we went into a village where we had 200 people dancing before the car going in. But many of them were like witches, and they were dancing like these, like ritual dances and stuff like this. So we had been in the middle of a lot of witchcraft, and not just there. Listen, in British Columbia, there's a lot of witchcraft. In New Mexico, there's a lot of witchcraft. A lot of people say, well, you know, why do you go? Well, you try to argue with God and not follow the call on your life. and see what happens. I don't want to be no Jonah. You know what I mean? You're not promised a vacation when you go. I look at the Apostle Paul, and he is one of my mentors, because I look at him because he was a wanderer. He traveled. He went around the world at his time. Look at the stuff that he faced, right? And one of the times he got this exciting dream, the Macedonian call. And everybody, who wouldn't want to have a Macedonian call in the room? Everybody. God, give me a dream. I want to go where you want me to go. I want to do what you want me to do. He goes to Macedonia. This is in Philippi. Meets Lydia, has a little revival break out by the river. And then suddenly cast a demon out of the wrong person, which had an economic impact on that region. They were so angry with him. What did they do? They threw him in. They beat him because he followed the call. So the first thing you got to get in your mind is you're going to go through things when you go to the nations. I mean, you don't even have to go to the nation. You can just go down to Walmart and you're going to go through things. You're going to have to go despite these things that could happen. I love Paul, and he was going to Jerusalem, and he's getting warnings like, if you go there, you're going to be shackled. He's like, I got to go anyway. People all the time warning me not to do this, not to do that. I said, look, you can say what you want, but I had a dream, and God is calling me to this place. I have to go. So even now, despite 5 months of warring to get back up on my feet, I'm ready to go again. I'm ready to go to the places that God has called me to go to do what he's called me to do. And I hate to tell you, it's not always easy. The travel alone, almost being killed in car accidents, almost dying of food poisoning, all these things that have happened to me through the years, my bones breaking in some places because of attacks that have taken place. And I remember every time I was just like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. People thought I was crazy. They still do, but I don't care. You got to get over what people think of you, because who cares? You can't worry about what people think of you. If you do, you'll never do anything. It's as simple as that. Like, even my paintings here. When I first started painting, people hated my art, and they were not afraid to tell me. I had people say, I hate your paintings, to my face. I was like, thank you. And I remember the one lady who said that to my face that night. I sold $900 worth of art. Thinking, for stuff that you hate, I just made $900 on it. Thank you, Father. You cannot be afraid of what people think. And I would, you know, ask you to stand up stronger. You cannot be the coward in town. You cannot, when the enemy comes to town, coward and say, well, I need to hide because I might get hurt. No, you have to stand up and speak as one with authority and not be afraid. I love what happened during COVID. I'm probably going to get blocked now on Facebook here, and how the church stood up. And this church stood up. Many churches didn't. But I'm not going to judge that, because maybe they were fruitful in different ways. But some churches stood up, and even I was reading today that the church there in Elmer, Hillebrand, they're still suing them. You know what I mean? They're still after them. 3 years later, you know, there's no forgiveness. But you don't have to be afraid. God will take care of you through everything that comes your way. I wrote this. I want you to get a feeling of the pain I went through. And this was written on June 21st. I'd had a relapse. This is called a PICC line right here. You see this toward the heart? And the antibiotics flow in through there. On I think it was May 29th, I had this PICC line removed. I didn't want it, to be honest. Who wants that in you all the time? It wasn't something I wanted. So they told me they were going to give me an oral antibiotic. And so I said, well, take it out. I don't want no fish hook in me like this, you know what I mean? Take it out. Within 1 week, the oral antibiotics weren't working, because one of the things that happened to me on April 5th was I was diagnosed as a diabetic. I was terrified of being diagnosed this way, so for years wouldn't go to the hospital, but had symptoms of it, but was ignoring it. But my sugar shot through the roof. I went into like a diabetic seizure on April 9th. I was going in and out, like in and out. I actually saw heaven. I saw Hades, if you will. I can't even say what I saw was good. It was just so much that I saw. I was going in and out. I had one friend from the Ottawa Valley had a dream the night I went into ICU. And he said, I went into the ICU. You were there. And I was commanding your spirit to stay in your body. Simple as that. Stay. You're not done yet. And then he said, all I could hear you saying, but the pain, the pain. Unless you've had it, and I'm sure I'm not the only one in the room who's gone through pain. But this was pain that lasted months. I want you to, and then June 21st, I just come out of the hospital again because I relapsed. And I wrote this, an old hymn by Bob Fitts came to me this morning as my back began to spasm in great pain, waking me from a deep sleep. The words go like this, Father in heaven, how we love you. Remember this song? We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praises as your people. And I can't get, I'll mess up here in a second if I keep going. But that song came into my spirit and the Lord was like ushering me into worship in the midst of the pain. The pain has been most intense these past weeks. And this was like the pain in the back and then dealing with the constipation. But it will not reign forever. Only Jesus will reign forever. Every day I wake up hoping the pain will end. I have an IV hooked into my body, pumping medicine into me that's designed to kill the infection. And yes, for you purists out there, I'm taking probiotics to help counter the antibiotics. I have to say that the pain has driven me to my knees, and yet I still praise him. There are times I've been angry and I've been tempted to swear, but I quickly repent. I ask the Lord to forgive me for the anger, and then I thank him for the pain. I'm alive, and I'm in him. Jesus is so good to me. I'm in my home, and I mean, really, I was thankful because I wasn't in Kenya. I wasn't in India. I was in my house. And I get to see the faces of those I love the most, my wife and my children. I'm surrounded by love, yet there's still pain. I want to suffer well. I really do. Consider it pure joy when you face tribulations of many kinds. This is the scripture. We're to be thankful in all things. And so as a Christian, I want to emulate thankfulness. And not always easy, is it? It's not always easy because we face trials of many kinds, family issues, financial issues. Some of these issues that come our way can be terrifying. Am I right? Oh, and then we have to overcome, but Jesus has overcome the world. And therefore, you will overcome the world because he is in you. Whew, he's our hope of glory, amen? I want to suffer well. I want people to know that Jesus is with you in the greatest of pain. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I feel the rush of angels' wings. I see glory in each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. That's another great old song. Jesus is here with me as the third man in the fire. He's there in the suffering. You may not understand the pain, just as there are times that I don't, but God is here calming me, helping me to breathe, whispering that it will be okay. He's in the prayers of my friends who pray for me and comfort me. There are times I have thought, God, you don't see me because you don't heal me. And then I repent because his spirit is with me. His peace and joy are there. He's provided for all my needs. He has blessed me with many prayer warriors. The trial will end. This trial will end, but I pray that I will never lose the power of praising him in all things. I want it to be counted worthy in the trial. Even as I'm attacked, I want to praise him. He is good and worthy of all our praise. Whew! And I wrote many things like this during that time. I really wanted to document what I was going through. There may be a small book that will come from all that. Or maybe not. Maybe this is the book, you know what I mean? I've already written 14. I don't have much ambition to write many more, to be quite honest, unless it just flows out. But there were many scriptures. I am very much a social media minister. That's probably the biggest impact we had. Even in the last 3 weeks, I suddenly started seeing people coming onto my websites and asking me questions in Spanish. And I'm like, what is going on? All of a sudden, all these Spanish-speaking people from South America, from Central America, are trying to get a hold of me. I'm like, God, what's going on with this? And I couldn't tell, but I had like somebody from Cuba, like the head of a ministry network there, write me saying that they want me to come there. And then I had somebody from El Salvador, which means our Savior, I think, or the Savior, wrote me from the Savior. And he actually sowed $1,000 into our ministry right there, which shocked me because it was just in time. And that's one of the things I've seen over and over and over in the last 4.5 months is supernatural provision, constant. We've not lacked for anything. I want to thank the church for all you guys have done. Members of the church individually have reached out to us, and the church corporately has reached out to us. We've had many good meals. And I found that there are better cooks than me in this church. Amen. So thank you for all you've done for us. But, you know, we've seen God just in time, God. The other day I went to the mailbox and we were getting low again. And I don't worry about that because I know it'll come one way or the other. And some lady from, I don't know where she was, somewhere in Canada, opened up. There's this plastic envelope in there. And Isaac actually was the one who got it. I'm thinking, well, open it up, boy. And I was almost like, you open that up and then there's another envelope inside. And I go, what is this? And it was like 10 $100 bills. And over and over, it was funny, one week, and I said, Lydia, we need to sow into the church. I want to sow a significant seed. So that weekend, I sowed $1,000 into the church, and on Monday, you guys gave us $1,000. I was like, it just evened out, you know what I mean? One thing you don't want to do is to lose faith in the middle of your crisis. You want to sow even in the middle of your crisis. And we've actually, in the last months, I have a big ministry in Tanzania. We're planting a church in Dar es Salaam, which is the financial capital of Dar es Salaam. I have a very good friend there, John Oscar, who's an evangelist to the nation. He prays for the prime minister. We've prayed for elected officials. We spoke in front of 30,000 people. So I've been in regularly when I go over there. A small church is 500, and we're preaching at a different one every other night. So he has a powerful call in his life. He's a guy, every time I sow into, I see the seed return quickly. So I'm like, God, even now, we're going to sow. And every time I did, it would come back. You can trust God in the midst of your fire. And some scriptures that got me through. There was a guy on Instagram. I kept on one of my pages, this guy, and I think he was from Africa, but every day he posts about 10 scriptures. And they're my favorite scriptures, so I just take notice of this guy. And every time I go on, I'm looking for him. What's he got out there today? And so most of this, I got 20 scriptures here that I posted on one of my Facebook walls over the last 3 months. And most of them probably originated with this young man in Africa. But one of them that took root in me was Isaiah 46, 3 and 4. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb, I love that, even to your old age. I am he, and even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made, I will bear, even I will carry and I will deliver you, even to your longish years. I don't know about you, but you know, we grew up in the era of the Freedom 55. You remember that idea? I mean, I don't think it worked out for many people, but we were told that if we invest properly, we'd have a freedom at 55. Well, I'm 4 years from 55, and I don't think we're there yet. I don't think... you know, I don't want to stop working. I used to think 50, for you young people, 55 is just like just another number. The Beatles sang the song, "Will You Still Need Me? Will You Still Love Me? When I'm 64," and they thought that was old. They did. I remember hearing an interview. We thought that was old. And I did too, and you did too. You know what I mean? Yeah, many of you in the room, I don't know your age. I don't want to guess because I don't want to get in trouble. But I imagine many of you have gone past 60, and maybe some of you are around in 70 at this point. Someone are higher, but we don't need to go into this. But even to your longest years, he will carry you, is a promise in the Word of God. This became a rhema word, like a word by the Holy Spirit to me. You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry. I remember my grandparents, they were hardworking people. My grandfather lived to 89, and my grandmother lived to 95. And they weren't like rich in the world's eyes. They were rich in faith, but God sustained them and took care of them to their longest years on both sides of the family. Whew, God will take care of you is a promise from the Word of God, and one that strengthened me in my crisis. Here's a little scripture from Ecclesiastes 7:10 that hit me. The Bible says, "Don't long for the good old days. This is not wise." I mean, it was like, oh, the good old days. Whew, this is not wise. Why? Because you're still in your days. There's still good days to come. And as you focus on your past and worship it, you're not giving God the ability to bless your moments. I've heard people say, God is about to bless you, as we release a daily prophetic word on one of my pages, actually three or four of my pages. I release a daily prophetic word, and we get people to say, oh, brother, I hope so. You know, there's a mighty one of faith right there. I hope so. Now, we've all been there, right? We've all been there, but you got to know so. Because when the time comes for a battle, you're going to need to know the Word of God. I love the scripture. I've hid your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And what? Unbelief is sin. Oh, my God, I hope I get through it. It's not a big step of faith. You know, we all have mustard seed faith sometimes. Mustard seed faith, what I've come to understand, is really just the faith to pray to God. Say, God, I don't even know if you're real. Some of people are in that place, right? Some of you are in there. Most of you here know God. Let's just put it that way. But there's people just don't know if God's going to answer them. Mustard seed faith is just saying, you know what? I don't know, but I'm going to pray anyway. God, if you're there, show me your glory. Show me your power. Answer my prayer. That don't take much faith to pray that. It don't at all. But when I encourage people to say, pray that way, they always get answers. Because God is faithful. He's the God, what's it? He's the Father like, gives good gifts to his children. What greater gift than to hear his voice? I don't know what storm you're going through. But you know what? Pray in the middle of your storm. Right in the middle of your storm. I don't know. I've said, God, you're going to have to talk to me now. Right now. And you can be this way with God. He's okay with you getting like that. He's a bit feisty himself at times, right? He created you in your feistiness, you know what I mean? You got to have, like, gumption, if you will. Stand up and declare to God, God, I need to hear your voice in the middle of this fire. And how many times during the last 4 months I prayed that way? One time I said, God, you need to show me. And I just read that thing to you. And that was on June 21st, I wrote that. And so I'm in the middle of like, God, you better speak to me now. This is the pain. And then on June 23rd, I get a dream. This is the dream. In a dream last night, I had a friend give me a gift. It was Mark Redner, for you guys who know Mark Redner, came to me in my dream. And it was like a little tiny peanut size. It was a peanut. I'm like, he's giving me a peanut. You know what I mean? A peanut. It was like that size. Gives me the peanut. But when I turned it around, there was a carving inside the peanut of wood. And it was the most detailed carving. It was just this big, but I could see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in there. And Jesus was the fourth man in the fire. And I woke up going, praise God, you're with me. Even in this trial, about a month ago, I was sick of the pain. Sick of it. God, am I going to be healed?
like you said, I'm going to be healed, but I need, you know, and I've heard you say I'm going to be healed, but I need to hear it again. Have you ever been there where you've heard it before, but today I need a fresh word? Now, many people try to look to people to give them that word. I don't. I always project it to God. God, I don't know who the voice is that needs to come and speak into my life this moment, but you do. Bring them to me is my prayer. A lot of people go after prophetic words and stuff like this. That's okay for a while, but you need to actually turn to God as your source and trust him to speak to you. He will speak to you if you will trust him. And I'm used to God. When I pray that way, I'm going to get a dream. This is it. You got to give me a dream, God. I need to hear your voice. But he didn't give me a dream. That night when I prayed about that, the guy from El Salvador wrote me and gave me the $1,000. And for me, that was very prophetic because Joseph, my son, I'm very proud of my kids. And during this time, one of the great things during this time has been able to pour into their education. I mean, Johnny has read like 15 or 16 books. He read Moby Dick from cover to cover in like 5 days. And there's many other books like that that he's been. And I'm like, boy, you better get that book and read it. I'm after Isaac now. Isaac, put up your hand right there. Isaac is my project right now. I told him I'll give you $50 if you read those 10 books. Now get it done. He's like, well, it might take me a bit of time. I'm like, no. So I said, get it done. And I will motivate them that way. So it's been awesome in this season, just pouring into their educations. Sammy is my voracious, I don't know how to describe. Samuel is just he's Sam. You guys who've seen Sammy running around, you know what I mean. Sammy was just running from the stage right into the back. And I'm like, Sammy! I was on my broadcast the other night, and I built a studio in my garage, but I could see through the window to the outside. And here's Samuel trying to climb up onto the roof of the house. I'm like, Sammy! Woo! So it's been good. I've used this time to pour in. People think, you know, because I travel so much that I don't have a great relationship with the kids, that, no, this is not true. It's naive. Because when you follow the call of God on your life, you're going to see the fruit in your family. Amen? I tell people all the time, there's dads stay home all the time and their kids are all messed up on drugs. Why? Because they didn't follow the dream God had for their lives. God made a promise to me before I ever started traveling the ministry. I had a dream where I had to sign a contract in heaven. It was like, if I signed this, I saw my family in my head. I saw Joseph. They were about five down at that point. I'm like, God, if I sign this contract, my kids. He says, you got to trust me with your kids. And I signed it anyway. And became, in that moment, was like a commander in the Lord's army. It was like I had stripes on my shoulder and I was put into the war rooms with the generals, speaking into the generals. You can believe that or not, I don't care, but that's the dream I had. And then I had a second dream. You guys know I was on Sid Roth last year. Well, I fell in love with Sid Roth because of an episode with James Gall and Sid Roth. When I was on Sid Roth, James Gall was there taping the show too. So here's God. I fell in love with the show, and I meet James Gall, and he prophesied into me. We spent about an hour and a half together. We had prophetic words for Canada that we shared, so and I'm praying into those. I won't share them because it's not my place to share. But there's stuff coming for Canada. Amen. Thank you, Lord. But I had watched a Sid Roth show with James Gall, and James Gall had many angelic encounters back in the day. There was a period of a 10-week period where, and he's talking about this on Sid Roth, where he saw angels come into his room like lights going up the ceiling. And I got hungry because sometimes when I hear testimonies like that, I'm like, God, if you could do it for James, you can do it for me. And I prayed that way. It just came out. I blurted it. God, I want an angelic encounter in my room. You've probably heard me tell this story before. But, Shanda Bokuri on a Sunday. Thank you, Lord. About a week later, I'm we had an old house in Carleton. It was one of those train houses that were built during the time. And it was an A-frame. You know what I mean? If you got up the wrong way, you hit your head on the ceiling. I woke up in the middle of the night, and here's a light going up the ceiling. And all of a sudden, it goes into my closet, and there are three angels in there around a campfire. Now they say, Darren Canning just lost his mind. But that's what I saw. And my room was small. I mean, it was like a small room. But these guys were 30 feet away, but in my closet. Don't ask me how these things happen. But I saw this, and it's 2:30 in the morning, and these guys are sitting around the fire, and they're laughing. They're going, shut up, buddy. And they're talking, angel. Like this. And I'm like, would you guys shut up in there? I was serious, too. Would you guys shut up in there? I'm trying to sleep. And that made them laugh. They were like, oh, they laughed harder. Oh, you're trying to sleep, are you? And then I hear them say, if it wasn't for us, your family would have been in trouble a long time ago. And Michael was there. Michael, and he was a big, big angel. This guy, my ceilings were 8 foot tall. High, but he was like nine and a half feet tall, and he was like 6 foot broad, and he had no shirt on, very muscular. I was like, my first thing that came out, I got a naked big guy in my room. I was really uncomfortable. Whew, shut up, Okuna Sunda. But then I saw him go out into the rooms of my children, and they were protected. So for you guys who don't understand the psychology of one who's immersed in Christ and think like a natural man, you need to get deeper into God and begin to see the way God sees things. I can be 18,000 kilometers from home, but I'm not worried about my kids because that angel is still there. Amen? And you can say, wow, that's nice. It was just a dream. Did you have hot dogs that night and pizza? Well, I might have, but that don't negate the fact that I had an encounter with God. Some of you negate your dreams and say, that's just a dream. I must have did something wrong. Maybe it was the medication I had last night. Maybe it was the Pepsi before bedtime. I shouldn't have had it. I knew I shouldn't. My wife told me I shouldn't do it, but I did it anyway. And I had this crazy dream. No, you need to pay attention to the things. And then you need, by faith, to trust God and believe it, which is what I do. I'm not afraid, and I know my greatest days are ahead. You can't tell me anything opposite to that. In the middle of all this, saw myself flying back into Africa, and I knew I was there for 2 weeks. We're going to see incredible revival. I know this about myself. I'm a breaker anointing to break open revival, and we've broken up. I've seen revival break out all over the world. One time in India, 8,000 people got touched in 2 weeks because everywhere we went, there was a breaker anointing. You say, oh my God, that's so bold to declare that about you. It's not about me. That's about Jesus. I'm just a tool in his hands, but that tool ain't done. This has refined me. This crisis of health has refined me. Diabetes no longer scares me. Almost dying does not scare me. God sustained me in my crisis. He will sustain you. There's a scripture that says all our times are in God's hand. I imagine that as God breathing on his hand and you're in it. And he's like, not the enemy can try, but he's defeated. Amen? He may come at you in one way, but he has to leave in seven. That's what the scripture says. Yeah, you know, there's an Isaiah 54, verse 70, one of my favorite verses. It says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. It doesn't say a weapon won't be formed. A lot of us don't want weapons formed. Sickness may be formed against you. Financial failure may be formed against you. Maybe your family is going through crisis. There was a weapon formed, but it will not take you out. You just need to believe God and trust God in the middle of the storm. He will meet you in the storm. This is my testimony. And not just from the last 4 months, for the last 20 years. I've served him. I've seen him to be faithful to his word. My past in Christ of the supernatural provision, the supernatural missions that I've been on all around the world are testimony to me that I can trust God for the next 20 years, for the next 30 years, whatever it is. One of the visions that God gave me early on, Lydia and I have been married 16 years in October. And I can't even believe that. That just flew by. That flew by. I mean, some of you are saying, oh, you're just babies. You're just married 16 years. That for me is a miracle because I went through a divorce. And that was the worst thing I tried to kill myself after that. I had to wrestle with the Word of God. I meet this sweet young woman. I was older than her, 8 years older than Lydia. I thought she was a baby when I first met her. She looked like a teenager. When I found out she was 27, I went, oh, my God. That's married age. But that wasn't enough because, you know, she's cute, she's pretty, but a lot of pretty cute people out there that you're not meant to be with, amen? And so it has to be a subject of prayer, and God showed me by his grace there would be grace upon the marriage, and there's certainly been grace upon the marriage, but I said, God, how do I know we're going to make it? Because the statistics testify against people who've been through divorce, and the second marriages, they divorce quicker. I do not want to be a stat. Show me, God, that we're going to make it. And within the first month, I had a dream. I saw our 50th anniversary cake. And her and I were like statues on top of it, and very happy, very smiling. It was a nice cake, big old cake. You know what I mean? Thank you, Lord. So that sustains you. And when the enemy comes against you and tries to take you out, I'm like, no, I haven't seen that cake yet. That's 50 years. So at least 34 more years. Every time I say that, my mother goes, you need to believe for more. I'm like, I do. I'm just telling you my dream. Like, you need to believe for more than 34. I do, but stop rebuking me every time I tell the dream. She's rebuked me like 50 times every time I tell that dream. You need to believe for more. I do. I want to be an old man. Amen? My kids think I'm an old man now. But I want to be an old man. I want to be able to sit on my front porch with great-grandkids there saying, Sonny, you can trust God. Whew, look at the blessings upon your family. Look at what God has done. And so I just thank you, Father, for everyone in this church. I thank you for their lives. I thank you for their support, how they've supported us. And before we finish, I'd like to talk about two of the paintings. Don't ask me what they mean prophetically because I often don't know. People say, what does that mean? I'm like, well, there's two types of prophetic. There's prophetic, conscious prophetic, where you know, and there's unconsciously being prophetic, where you just trust God and paint. And so most of my art is within the unconscious realm, where I don't try to give descriptions to what I see, because I found that is just overwhelming for me to have to explain every art piece, because sometimes I don't know. You see things in my art that I don't see. And so I usually try to leave it to you to see what you want. But there's a couple here.
Okay, so maybe I want you to do the couple you're doing, and then I want to just ask if there's one or two people here that have noticed one of these, and it's just, and maybe it could be simply that you say what it means to you, but we can also just point it out. So are there one or two here that have just had, like, been looking at one of these pieces, and it just sort of is, you're kind of like, it's speaking to you? Monica? Well, I'd like to know what that piece is. So can I just draw attention to that, and then you can do the two that, or whatever you want to do. Let me just see.
Thank you, Lord. But it's the way I signed since I was like 12 years old. And then when I started putting it on my painting, everybody thought it was a 6 and an 8. Or they said it looks like an ancient key. I go, no, that's just my signature. It's an artistic expression of my signature. I only started doing that 4 years ago. There's some here that are a bit older, and they have actually C-A-N-N-I-N-G on them.
So which one, Monica, did you see?
The sailboat, Dan.
The sailboat, yeah, okay.
Well, sailboats.
Me and Devine both mentioned that earlier.
You and Devine both?
Yeah.
The sailboat? Yeah, her and Devine both noticed the sailboat.
Well, the sailboat, this one, I only painted this, I think, maybe yesterday. I don't remember, or the day before. It only takes me a half hour to paint this. I've done 3,500 paintings, so at that point, yeah, just put it there for a second. This sailboat has 53 written on it,
which is Isaiah 53. And I picture this as sailing into healing and freedom, into unknown places. Sailboats, I grew up in Newfoundland near the ocean till I was 18 years old. I hate boats. I've only been in like two or three boats, but I love seeing boats, amen? So it's not about wanting to be on a boat. These have prophetic expression. I'll paint fishing boats, which represent evangelism to me, and sailboats are about freedom because the wind hits the sails, you know, and the Holy Spirit hits your sail and he blows you into his stuff. There's a boat that goes out to fish, little things like that, but it's signed the old way. So canning, amen? This one here is just, sometimes I like to tell stories, and this is Jacob's ladder. Angels ascending and descending, that's what that is. So, and there's the throne, you can see the throne on top. Shadabakuri on a Sunday. And I love the angelic realm. It's incredible. This one here is what I wanted. When I hit this colors, these were colors I was trying to get for like 15 years. That's just the body of Christ, Jesus and the bride. But it represents homes. It represents the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear them to deliver them. Right? This is what that's about. But the colors, when I hit the colors, sometimes I try for years to hit certain colors, and with that one I did it. And then a lot of the paintings, really, like this one, is just expressing the Ottawa Valley and the glory of God in the valley. We did hikes during COVID, and often I pass by places that look just like this. And group of seven. The reason why I paint the way I do, and grab the other one of the farm. This is another one from our hikes where I would have seen something that looked like that. And the colors, again, I hit colors there that I wasn't able to hit until that painting, which was painted about 3 months ago. I've painted in my pain. I'll tell you, there's times I go paint. By the time I'm done, I got to rest for 2 hours from the pain. And I've painted about 30 paintings in the last, during this time. Then I love flowers, so there's zinnia, there's hibiscus there, there's a glory wave right there. That glory wave is, that's just what I believe is coming. Also, one of the things the Lord said to me is, tsunamis are coming, but don't be afraid because you'll surf them. And they're going to propel you or exhilarate you into your destiny. Get the one of the candle. That actually looks a bit like Isaac. That was not my intention when I painted it, but after I painted it, it looked like Isaac. But I painted that when he was 6 or 7, so it was an older boy that came out. I had been in the National Art Gallery about 20 years ago, and I saw a painting of light striking a face from a candle. And so it took me 15 years to learn how to paint that. That to me was... That one's not going anywhere. That's going right back to the house, just to let you know. This one is about the light of God shining on us. Revelation and understanding. Get the Moses one. Ooh, thank you, Father. This is Moses. I painted that, and to me it's about deliverance, of course. Moses, he's strong, too. Look at him. Look at that face. He's tough. He really was. He had to be. He didn't feel tough, but he had to be tough. Amen? And I just paint it what I feel. I paint what I feel. It just comes out. So there's expressions that come out in the art that I didn't expect. But then suddenly it has an expression. I paint a lot of animals. I don't have many here today. But every time I paint a bird, they have an expression on their face. And it's always a different expression. The expression comes from feeling. I don't intend for it to look a certain way. It just happens to. And so after a while, you allow the unconscious part of who you are to paint rather than even to be conscious about it. I studied color theory to understand what colors work together, and I did that for years. And so that's why the colors that most of the time work, right? Because there's a science to that. And then there's these kind of things, these paintings of the Canadian water and the trees. I love nature. I'm very much an introvert. Just ask Glennie.
I'm very much, I like being alone. That's why I paint, right? But I love being in nature. And you do too. I love nature. But the group of seven, I was in the Art Gallery, National Art Gallery, 20 years ago. I never painted. I drew some charcoal sketches when I was young, but I never painted. And I was in, it was a Tom Thompson exhibit. He went through some tragedy, but his colors, when I saw them, I just blurred it right in the middle. I could do this! I just knew there was an artist inside of me. It was like the artist started screaming to get out. And so the group of seven I'm drawn to, many of these paintings, I would have studied their art for the last 20 years, and it would have taken me 20 years to paint some of these paintings, so God is good. I sell a lot of art. We sell so much. We had a down payment for a house for it. I bought cars because of the money that's come in. So this is actually a big part of our income. In the last year, I probably sold $50,000 worth of art. In my lifetime, $250,000 to $300,000 I've made on art. And they're all over the world. They're in 20 nations. So what God, you know, what I learned was he will bless the work of your hands. And so I don't sit around just waiting for it. I create it. And I create by faith. There's many times, Pastor Chuck, I'm in Texas and I'm about to fly in a plane, but I'll paint a huge one like this. There's no way it's getting on the plane. I'm like, God, I'm doing this by faith. I'm painting this by faith. And you know what? That thing always sells, no matter what. And I give some away, but we've sold over 2,000 paintings at this point, maybe more, and they're all over the world. I have 200 paintings in Korea. I have about 300 in Australia, about 400 in Texas alone, and probably over 1,000 in America. And now they're starting to be sold in Canada. So this is a big part of my ministry. Writing is a big part of our ministry. Social media and broadcasting is a big part of it. And traveling is a big part of it. And so I expect to do that for a long time yet. I want to give one painting away, and I don't care which one you take, but it's you come here. Yeah. And she's blessed me so many times. So you just choose. I knew it was Barbara. I was afraid to say it. Yeah, I love that one. Now you're going to make me have to paint another one. You know what I mean? No, I don't love any of them that much. Yeah, it's like when you have 5 to 7 children, you're just looking forward to the day that they do find a house of their own, you know? Thank you, Father. Yeah, I want that young man too. Come here. Yeah, I want you to have one too. I want one that will speak to you, you know what I mean? Whichever one you want. You want that one, take it. That's a $2,000 painting. Yeah. But, you know, as you sow, what happens? You reap, and it's not even money that I'm reaping right now. You know what it is? Supernatural ideas to paint other things. So I ask God, as I give away my favorites, and that one was probably one of my favorites, you're going to give me something in return, which is another painting that I love. Amen? God is good. I'm done. Whew! God is good. I thank you for having me today. Thank you, Jesus. Amen?
Yeah, didn't you just get sprinkled over? Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you. Stretch us to a place where we never go back again, Lord. We never go back. Keep us stretched, Lord. Keep us going forward, Lord, in your purposes. Thank you for the acceleration that's occurring. Thank you that we're richer because of one another, Lord. There's such gifts and calling inside of each one of us, Lord, the gifts and the calling of God. Lord, thank you for the Cannings, Lord. We've been enriched by every family member. Each one of the children just have blessed us in unique ways. They're just so unique. Lydia is such a precious woman of God and a friend to many. Thank you for her, Lord. Thank you for Darren. Thank you for the gifts and the calling of God. Thank you for the preservation and the care and the concern and even the extreme care of the Lord over his life. And thank you, Lord, for the launching pads and the things that you have for him in the coming days, Lord. Thank you for the nations that will be impacted and are being impacted. Thank you for this time, Lord God. Let the sprinklings of God and the things that you've touched us with, Lord, not diminish but only increase to your glory, we pray. Your presence is with us, Lord, and you promise never to leave us, never to forsake us. Amen. Amen.